Welcome to another inspirational teaching from Bridge Family Church. This message was recorded live at our weekly Sunday service. For more information, visit us online at www.bridgefamilychurch.com. We hope that you'll be encouraged and challenged as you listen to this week's message.
So last week, of course, with Thanksgiving, I had talked about praying right. And remember, in Psalm 100, verse 4, it tells us the procedure, how that we should pray and that we should come into the presence of God. And so it talked about prayers and supplication, which is humble requests and thanksgiving. We should have thankful hearts. Sometimes we can come to God in our prayers and we just give Him a list. And we're like, God, you may not be aware of this, but God, I need this. You may not be aware of this, and that's not the right attitude or the right mindset to come in. We should have humble requests. And I shared with you, and it's going to be on the screen, Philippians 4:6. And this is out of the Amplified. It says, "Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Say anything." That means anything. We should not have fret or anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, or I have supplication, with thanksgiving. That last part, a lot of times, we leave out, with thanksgiving. We should have thankful hearts. He says, continue to make your specific requests known to God. Praying right helps us to have the right mind so that the peace of God can guard our hearts and minds. So we should pray with thanksgiving. The Bible says that God knows everything you need before you ask, but He wants us to ask. I remember when our daughter was little, and it's getting close to Christmas, and so sometimes it's like, of course we knew what she needed, but sometimes she would want to tell us like what she wanted. And it was just sometimes funny, you know, that she would tell us, and it's like, we know that, you know. God knows us. He knows what we need, but He wants us to ask. He wants us to ask the right way. In this day and age, we have fret and anxiety. In everything, we're afraid sometimes. We have anxiety. What will I do? Where will I go? Let us take Paul's words in Philippians to heart. In every circumstance. Sometimes circumstances you can't help. Sometimes we've made bad decisions and we're in a circumstance that we kind of got ourselves into. But there's circumstances that happen that you can't help. And he says, in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Sometimes that can be the hardest part of praying. And so Psalm 100 verse 4 tells us the procedure, or tells us the protocol of how do we pray to our God. And he says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. So that's the first. He uses the word picture of gates. So the first step in through the gates is with thanksgiving. And then he says, enter His courts with praise. The second step is praise. So again, it's not that we are like, I'm going to spend 5 minutes praying today and we're in, God, I need this, I need that. You know, you may not know it, and then I'm out. We don't do that in our relationships. Imagine going to your partner or your mom or dad or something and just telling them what you need, just giving them the list. And you don't want a conversation, you don't want to listen to anything they have to say. So here's the procedure, he says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. And the truth is, we actually should be very, very thankful. I've said this before. We live in a land that my friend calls a land of miracles, that you turn on your faucet and you have drinkable water that's in your home. If you've ever had to pump water to get a bucket of water and how much effort that's involved, we've pumped water and then it's not drinkable and it needs to be filtered. We have drinkable water. We have, some of us, you just turn the little dial and your heat kicks on. And sometimes you turn it a little more and it can get even warmer. We should be so thankful. There's people that don't have that. So we're going to talk today about praise, the second part of that. Last week it was about thanksgiving and giving thanks to God and having our relationship with God, praying the right way. So praise, by definition, is to express warm approval or admiration of. Express one's respect and gratitude towards God, especially in song. The expression of respect and gratitude as an act of worship. So David, the psalmist, if you read the book of Psalms, David worshiped and praised the Lord. So much so that that is just where most people may not know the Bible, they may not know about God or Jesus, but they've heard the Psalms. And most people have heard Psalm 23. But this is Psalm 150. Psalm 150. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to the abundance of His greatness. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flute. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud cymbals." The drummer says, "Amen." "Let everything that has breath and every breath of life praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah." Praise the Lord. That is something that we need to have within us. We need to have praise. David gets down to business. It says he danced before the Lord with all his might. David knew how to praise the Lord. And remember, King David, God said of King David that he was a man after his own heart. And David was a man of praise. And I would picture him. You know, I had preached a while ago about him defeating Goliath. But I would picture him. He was a musician. And it says that even he came into Saul's presence, who was the king, and he played his harp. And it calmed Saul. I could picture David as a young man, 14, 15 years old, playing out and watching sheep, playing that and penning those songs unto God, just singing with his heart unto God. In Luke 19:36, this is what we would call the triumphal entry. This is Jesus is going to begin to come into Jerusalem. Luke 19:36 says, "And as he rode along, people were spreading their coats on the road as an act of homage before a king. And as soon as he was approaching Jerusalem, near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the entire multitude of the disciples, all those who claimed to be his followers, began praising God, adoring him enthusiastically and joyfully with loud voices for all the miracles and works of power that they had seen, shouting, 'Blessed, celebrated or praised is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory, majesty, splendor in the highest heaven.'" Some of the Pharisees, it says, the Pharisees were the religious leaders. So they were those that were part of the sect of the Pharisees. The religious leaders from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples for shouting these messianic praises." And Jesus said, "I tell you, if these people keep silent, the stones will cry out in praise." So he says the very rocks, the very stones will call out in praise because this moment that Jesus is coming in to Jerusalem. So praise means to contemn, to applaud, or to magnify. And for us Christians, praise to God is an expression of worship. It's lifting up and glorifying the Lord. Is an expression humbling ourselves and centering our attention upon God with love, adoration, and thanksgiving. Sometimes we need that to have that perspective. He is God. I'm not. And sometimes we can have the wrong view with God. Praise brings our spirit into alignment with fellowship and intimacy between ourselves and God. It takes us to the realm of the supernatural and to the power of God. There are many actions involved with praise to God. Verbal expressions of adoration and thanksgiving, singing, playing instruments, shouting, dancing, lifting or clapping our hands. My friend was a Presbyterian in high school, and he always would make fun or joke about the church that I went to. He always would say, "Oh, you're that church that hangs from the chandeliers and dances all over the church." But you know what? We praised God. And he would joke of himself, and he would say, "We're Presbyterian, we're the frozen chosen." He would always say, they never had any expression or the idea of a drum kit or cymbals crashing in his church. He always would make fun. But we have many ways we can express our praise to God. And that's one thing I love in Scotland. You can have one chord and everyone's in. It's not like people are waiting and, I love it. I love it. All in. When there's some worship going on, there's some praise going on. All in. But praise is not just merely going through the motions. Jesus spoke of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, those whose worship was only an outward show and not from the heart. He commented on that, and he said this in Matthew 15:8. These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Sometimes we can give God lip service. We can just go through the motions. But is our heart involved? See, when we're praising God, our heart should be involved. Our spirit, our whole being should be involved. Sometimes we can just sing along. Sometimes we don't even look at the words and focus in on what the song is saying. Sometimes we just like the melody, but our heart should be involved. True praise to God is a matter of humility and sincere devotion to the Lord. I almost said severe. Well, sort of. He delights in the love and devotion of his children. And it says that he is actually seeking worshipers. In John 4:23, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and he says, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." God's eyes are looking for worshipers. He's looking for those whose heart is engaged. He's looking for those who want to give adoration and praise to God with the right heart. That's what he's looking for. May we have a true and sincere heart that is devoted. James talked about, as we studied, the heart that's a double-minded man, and his heart is unstable in all his ways. He's tossed to and fro. He wants a devoted heart. He wants a single-mindedness that we trust in our Lord. All too often, praise to God is something that many people leave at church, becoming an event that happens when we come together with other Christians. But praise should be a part of our lifestyle, part of our daily life, whether we're at work, whether we're in the car, we're at home, in bed, or anywhere. Praise to the Lord brings a refreshing of the Lord's presence, along with his power and anointing. I know that in our home, sometimes when Sherry will put on just some praise and worship music, the atmosphere of the home just changes. Sometimes, like if you start your day off and you put on the news, you don't even want to get out of bed. There's just such horrendous things going on around the world. And then you begin to put on some praise and worship, or you begin in your heart to just sing to God, whether in your car, whether on the bus, and you just begin. On the bus, people may look at you weird. You may not have to sing out loud, but you can have a song in your heart to God. I'm in the car all the time, and I'm singing along, and I know people probably think I'm crazy at the red light, but, you know, I don't know. And I've always waited for that. It's never happened, but I'm waiting for the day when the police pull me over for thinking I'm talking on the phone, and I'm, "Officer, I'm praying. I'm talking to God." When I'm in the car by myself, they'll think I'm just crazy. I have no earpiece in. I'm not talking on any Bluetooth. I'm just praying to God. So, but let's not leave it at church. Ian has a playlist that you can look up on Spotify for the songs that we do at church. And there's just an amazing, in this day and age, from iTunes to YouTube, there's a plethora of ways that you can just listen to praise and worship music. Let us fill our hearts. Let us fill our lives with that. When we invite the Lord's presence, he wants to be in our lives, and we invite his presence, praising and worshiping him. It changes the atmosphere. David says this, Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Say all times. That means at all times. "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So it's not a matter that we don't talk to someone else or we can't have conversation, but we should have praise in our mouth, thanksgiving to God. "And bless the Lord at all times." I want to bless the Lord. I want to be a blessing to God. I don't want to bring reproach to his name. I want to be a blessing to God. And I want to have praise in my mouth. We can have cursing come out of our mouth all the time. We can have negative things. We can be people that actually are just speaking just garbage, just rubbish, you know? We should have praise in our mouth. Praise is an expression of faith. As I spoke a few weeks ago about faith, it's an expression of faith, and it's a declaration of victory. It declares that we believe God is with us and that he's in control of the outcome, in all our circumstances. So it's a declaration of victory when we praise. We're saying, God, you've got this, and you are the only one that is praiseworthy, the only one that is worthy of my praise and my adoration, the only one. Praise is described in the Bible, can be called sometimes a sacrifice. It's something that we offer to God sacrificially. And not just because we feel like it, but because we believe in him and wish to please him. In Hebrews it says this, "Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name." If we praised God only when we felt like it, we may never feel like it. It's something that isn't a matter of feelings. We praise God for who he is and what he's done, and because he's worthy of that praise. And it can be a sacrifice, especially in the hard times, in the difficult times. It can be very hard to say, God, I thank you. But he says it's a sacrifice of praise. And he wants us to give the sacrifice of praise. It should, as David said, would I give that to the Lord that cost me nothing? It should be a sacrifice at times. It can be the hardest thing we do to praise God. There's times when you just have a bad day. We all have bad days. But I tell you, if you do praise God and start to thank him, things can change. I've seen it happen. I know that it happens in my own life. Praise manifests God's presence. And so we should realize that praise repels the presence of our enemy, Satan. An atmosphere which is filled with sincere worship and praise to God by humble and contrite hearts is just awful to the devil. He fears the power of the name of Jesus, and he flees from our praise. I'll tell you what, if you're going through something, and whether in the car or just even if you put it on your headphones, you begin to worship God, as I said, the atmosphere changes. The enemy's not going to sit around and wait for it. He don't want to be there when you begin to praise God. Psalm 50, verse 23 says this, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God." Sometimes it's a sacrifice to thank, to be grateful. Sometimes it could be a sacrifice. When the children of Judah found themselves outnumbered by the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, King Jehoshaphat and all the people sought the Lord for his help. The Lord assured the people that this would be his battle. He told them to go out against them and that he would be fighting for them. So what did the children of Judah do? Being the people of praise, Judah actually means praise. That's our daughter's name. We named her Judah, and she is a worshiper unto God. Judah means praise. So the people of Judah, they went out. They said that God manifests his power through praise, and they sent their army against the enemies, led by the worship team, led by the praisers, and they went out. And so they went on ahead of the army and said, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And when they began singing and praising the Lord, he set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and those who had come against Judah, and so they were routed. They sent the praisers first. That's not exactly a military strategy. That is exactly, probably, not a good piece of advice to send out those who are the musicians. I'm a musician, and they always would joke, you know, musicians usually aren't the toughest guy in the room. You know, they're usually not the strongest guy. I had friends who did strongman stuff, and they would bend bars and all this stuff. And I always joked, I could bend a set of guitar strings. No offense. But the worshipers went first. And it says, as they began to sing and as they began to praise, God fought for them. And the enemy was destroyed through that. Remember, I spoke a few weeks back when Jericho was before them, walled city, impenetrable. It says that as they began to walk around, they followed the orders of God. Joshua followed the orders. And it says, and then they blew the shofar and they shouted. They shouted a victory shout of praise, and those walls came down. We need to be people that praise God. When God's people began to praise his name, it sends the enemy running. And I challenge you to become people who praise God. In your life, you will experience the release of the power of God. Praise is a powerful weapon against our enemy. We have, he says, the fruit of our lips. We have a weapon. We can declare the word of God. We can praise the name of Jesus Christ. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks. And so in closing, I'm closing early today, but some biblical expressions or some ways that we can show praise according to the Bible is the declaring of thanks. Thank you, God. Sometimes we may not know words, what to say. We don't have to have these big, eloquent prayers. Sometimes we can just say, God, I thank you. Another way is clapping hands or shouting. Musical instruments and dancing. Singing praise songs. The Bible talks about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Making a joyful noise. And that's one, what's a joyful noise? Only God knows, but making a joyful noise to the Lord. Another way is by lifting our hands, where it's just a sign of surrender. You know, all those years I've heard people that say, oh, that's so weird to me. People raise their hands in church or whatever. But if you watch just any concert, any band, whether it's, I mean, I'm not talking a Christian band. The people are in the front and they're raising their hands and it's something that is just, it seems natural. No one has asked that crowd at that concert to raise their hands, but they just do. Because as people, we express and we worship. I want to raise and lift my hands as an expression to the Lord, as a sign of surrender. One of the other ways that we can do it is by being still. It says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to be still. Another time, we can be loud. And sometimes we need to be loud and we need to shout the victory. So I just have a few more slides for you. Ralph Waldo Emerson says it like this: sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an action and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. May we get in the habit and sow into our future, into our destiny of being people of praise. May we have the shout in our hearts, that shout of victory in faith. Although we may not see the outcome. Remember, Joshua didn't know the outcome, but he trusted fully in what God said, and he followed the instructions of the Lord. And we need to do the same. We need to follow the instructions of the Lord, and we can reap a destiny. But it starts, it says, with a thought. And we need to have our thoughts thinking godly thoughts, praying right, going through the progression, as I said, with the gates of thanksgiving, with the courts of praise. And then we can come and humbly request things unto God. And our relationship with God can be in the right place. May we become people who praise the Lord. That's one thing I want us to say. Man, we praise the Lord. When it's time, we praise the Lord. We go after God with all our hearts. We don't hold back. And I just want to encourage you, don't hold back. When it's time to praise and worship, we should give God our absolute best. We should give God our absolute best because that's what He deserves.